I'm going to hold it, like, right here. I like to get animated sometimes, so I might get a little bit loud. We're going to see. First off, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to preach tonight. If you don't know me, my name is Kevin McLean. Many of you know me as Rev Kev. I'm never going to shake that nickname, so you can use it all you want, man. It'll be our little thing. I am the pastor of Trinity, which is just straight that way, like 400 yards, okay? You can get there in a minute if you're fast, and if you're that fast, you're probably on the track team. So at any rate, that's where I'm from. What I'm here to do tonight is to talk to you guys about the Word of God. We've been going through here at the Well over the course of the last handful of weeks, Psalms of Ascent. Now, maybe you're like most people. I think you go through the Bible and you're like, Bible, it's good. This is the Word of God, whole shooting match. You get to the Psalms, you're like, I'm not 100% sure what to do with these things because they talk about a lot of different things. When we look at the Psalms, it's a songbook, right? And when we're looking at the Psalms of Ascent, what we're looking at is a playlist. And tonight, we're going to be going over one of those Psalms of Ascent. But this is basically a playlist for folks that are going up to Jerusalem. They were required in the time of ancient Israel to go once a year up to the holy temple of God to worship, to be sacrificed for, to offer their sacrifices, to be made clean in the presence of God their Father. And that is exactly who God was for them and how they viewed God. And then they're going to see Dad. And so they had a playlist for it, Psalms of Ascent. And so as you would go, you would sing psalms together. Now, if you don't come from a tradition that's ever sung a psalm, don't worry. It's kind of ungainly because, you know, you wouldn't be doing it in Hebrew. But let's take a look at the psalm together. I picked specifically, out of the two that I was given a choice between, Psalm 128. And I'm going to read that for you guys tonight from the NIV. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And now, let me pray for myself, because I like God's help, too. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord, my rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. All right, so Psalms of Ascent. I'm used to a Britney mic, so I apologize. And I'm used to preaching with a Bible in my hand, so it might get ungainly from moment to moment. Psalms of Ascent, man. Let me ask you this. How many of you guys have Spotify Premium? Raise your hand. Okay, so I can live with the commercials. That's how I roll. I'm cheap, okay? But here's the deal. I've got it, and I got playlists. There are things that when I am getting ready to do something, I want theme music for me, like as though I'm in a star in my own sitcom. That's how I want life to be like, in the background. Amen. Hallelujah. That's exactly right. Okay, believe it. If you go to work out at like 5 a.m. at the YMCA, you can be here with me and Matt. Holler, all right, and a handful of other people. You got to listen to whatever they're going to play. And I'll tell you what, it's really bad. It's really bad. It's like classic rock. I went through that phase. I'm done with that phase. Okay, I have super weird taste in music. Some of you guys, if you were here the last time I preached, you probably remember that because it's some weird stuff, man. I like techno. I feel like I'm too old for that. I don't know what to do with it. But when I'm getting prepped for something, if I'm going to go work out, legitimately, like, there's certain kinds of music I want to listen to, okay? It isn't always Christian music, you know? It's something that can get you amped. There's not much Christian music that gets me in the mood to do a pull-up, you know what I mean? But when I was a kid, my folks would also have playlists, but it didn't work the same way back then because I'm pretty old. I just turned 41, which is a sad thing because now I'm in the second half of life. Statistically speaking, life expectancy in this country, 82 years, man. Like, the first half is in the books. So when I talk back to the time when I was a kid, it was different. My mom and dad, like, they had CDs, which were high-tech at the time, because back in the day, we would have a cassette tape. It didn't bounce and skip when you were driving down the road. And they would take us on trips sometimes, We didn't go on vacations because we weren't well-to-do enough to take a vacation or anything like that. I come from Southern California. It's really expensive to live. Just to be able to live is pretty hard. But my folks, there was one trip that we loved to take. We could kind of do it like spur of the moment. We go to a place called Joshua Tree National Park. If you've never seen pictures of Joshua Tree, you've never been there. It's a trip, man. There's a place called Jumbo Rocks. It just looks like a whole other planet. And it's amazing. It's a high desert. So there's like no humidity out there. And my mom is such a fascinating woman. Let me brag on moms here for a hot second. My mom's great in all the ways that moms are great. She's a real tough gal. She grew up super poor, like very, very, very poor. Like no food, lived in a car for a time with her family, which is a lot because she has five siblings. And so in cars, you know, they don't fit them that well. She grew up in a real bad part of Los Angeles when she finally moved to Southern California. She was born in Long Island, or Long Island, if you're from there. But she had this, and still does to this day, has a heart that wants to see incredible things. And she would hear about, like, man, there's going to be a meteor shower. Let's drive out to Joshua Tree so we can just look up at the stars and watch these things fall from the sky. And we would drive out to Joshua Tree, and it's so warm out there. You just lay on a big old rock, a rock the size of this room, and just lay on it and look up at the stars, and it's so dark, and the Milky Way is bright, like the walls of this room are bright. And you're looking up at the stars, you feel all the things you think you're going to feel, like the sense of being a part of something enormous and also being insignificant at the same time. It's a trip to do that. We would do it. And as we would go out, we'd always listen to the same music because it was just, you couldn't customize a playlist. And it was always Pink Floyd. And it made me, I started to have questions about my mom later on in life. And I was like, you know who else listens to a lot of Pink Floyd? The Stoners at my high school. But my mom was a cop too, man. So it's like, it's a weird life. But I'll tell you this. I remember every time now I hear like Dark Side of the Moon play, I'm like, this is like we're driving out to Joshua Tree. I remember the hills we would drive over and the sense of like weightlessness, the weird feeling in your stomach that you get going over those hills. I would remember the sense of anticipation that I didn't know what I was going to see, but I knew it was a trip. It was going to be something special that I'd remember. I saw my first satellites there, and I was like, which coincides with my first experience of like, man, is that a UFO? Not my last one either, but It was amazing. And it was actually made all the more amazing by the fact that the whole time you're basically prepping for it. Because you're getting ready to have an amazing experience. And you know it's supposed to be amazing. And maybe you don't know how. And on my first trip, I remember just being kind of like, this is special. You can tell. We don't prep for everything like it's special. And the Psalms of Ascent are like that. There are these songs that these folks, as they're walking down the road, they're going to be singing together, getting ready. And what they're getting ready to do for them is to see the most incredible place that they're going to see in their life. You know, for most people at this time in human history, it isn't exactly like I think most people imagine. The time of this time in human history, when these Psalms are being written, and even as far back as like the Bronze Age, the world is networked, right? There's trade happening all over the place. But for the average Joe, God bless you, bro. Appreciate that. So, it's okay. That's okay. I mean, if you got me a different one, it'd be cool. But I'll tell you, if you got a microphone stand, is that easy? No, I'm taking requests. Now it's definitely easy. No worries, man. No worries. I can do this. So, we keep it informal up in here. But it is just exactly that same thing, that sense of, hey, you know what, get ready, because you're about to see something incredible. These folks are going up to Jerusalem. They're going to see the temple, right? If you live in basically a mud hut, and your neighbors do, and you're like, man, my life is good. I like playing with my friends. I have family. I have people that care about me, and life's as good as it can be. Thank you, bro. It's just good, because it's the best thing you've ever known, and you've come to expect from life that this is what good things look like. And you know how to look for them. You know how to find them. It doesn't matter where you're from. I don't know. How many of you guys are from, like, here in Ohio? Like, raise your hand to Ohio people. Man, you're all Ohio people. That's fine. Ohio's great. I love it. I love living here, the whole shooting match. But I'll say this, that, you know, if you grow up here, you know what good to you looks like. You know what to find. You know what I mean? Look, where I come from, it's a little bit different. It can look different. It's got its own traps and pitfalls, too. Believe it. But like when I have friends who say, like, oh, I'm going to go visit Southern California. I've always wanted to see Southern California. And it's like, okay, do not go to any of the places you're planning on going to, because those things are all terrible. Don't go to Hollywood. It's terrible. But there are amazing things down there, and they're hidden gems. And there are things that maybe you only know and you only understand because you've been there before. And part of the joy of sharing what it is that you have is to see in the simple and plain life the miracles, right? The incredible things, where the gifts are that maybe the average Joe who's just walking past would miss. And life is like that. Maybe your life has been like that. Maybe you haven't seen the magic in the place where you grew up. Maybe it just seems like the mud hut. Maybe it doesn't seem like the amazing place where a lot of the good things that God has in store for people like you, people who he loves, is hiding those places or those kinds of things. And what you might imagine, I would imagine, like most of the people who were singing these psalms for the first time as they're going up to Jerusalem, is like, well, I can't wait to see something cool. Can't wait to get out of this joint so I can see something far more incredible than my day-to-day experience. I can't wait to be overwhelmed by how amazing the sights are that I've been told about. And they're getting ready to go up and they're going to sing. And what's crazy is the songs that they're singing, it isn't necessarily a catchy tune. Right? They're psyching themselves up for this mission. And Psalm 128, it begins with this: blessed are those who fear the Lord. It doesn't talk about, like, man, isn't it be great to see Jerusalem? I'll eventually get around to something like that. But it begins with a word that's building up exactly what they're there to do. If you're walking and you're going up here, you're doing this in obedience to God's command, but with an expectation that obedience to God's command might lead to something that's a little bit better than you might imagine. I don't know about you, but I hope that you have that suspicion. If you're a Christian person, man or woman, I'm sure you see the ways that life can be, well, plain, right? Everyone knows what a normal life looks like. Most of us might be worried that we're destined for something like that. But when we are trying to live out our faith as Christians, I think part of that enterprise is to look at life and to say, you know what? I believe that if I'm obedient to God, if I follow his will, if I can take a step in the right direction, or I can follow the path that leads most direct to him, then guess what's going to happen? My life would actually be better than if I didn't do those things. And so, yes, blessed is the one who follows this path. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord and who seeks to walk in his ways. And, of course, they're saying this while they're walking. And, you know, the point of contact for you and I is like, well, you guys are all sitting down. Well, the truth is you're walking. You have looked at the life that's stretched out before you as young people, and you said, I think I discern a path here. I could have maybe gone to a bunch of different schools. I could have maybe done a whole bunch of different things in life. I could have chose a whole bunch of different majors. What I decided I wanted to do was to choose the path that I'm on. And I prayed that God's blessing is in that. I know I have conversations with a lot of college students who will confess, man, I just don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if the path that I'm on is right. Or I've been on one path for 3 years and now I feel like that this one's not working out. And I'm not sure that God is blessing this path. I'm not sure that it's God's path anymore. And that feeling is a bad feeling. It creates within us this sense that maybe what we've been doing is a waste. Maybe all of this is pointless. Maybe the path has been my path all along. And the path that I believe the Spirit within you wants is the one that's blessed by God. And that, in our hearts at least, we imagine might lead straight to him. And this is embodied in this idea of pilgrimage, of going up, going to see where he lives, going to visit God. But it's also embodied every step, every day. You get up for class, you go to a practice, you go do whatever it is that you're doing that aligns with the path that you think is going to put you and propel you forward into where you believe that God wants you to be. That's a real pilgrimage. That's real faith. And that's a real walk. And God promises that in those places that there is absolutely a blessing that comes from it. Because it is God's will that you walk forward. And as much as we might grow concerned that we can't discern the path as clearly as we'd like, our real hope isn't that we're such good trailblazers, but that God honors those who seek after him. That he's one who rewards those who earnestly seek him. He promises to be that. Basically, from that point on, the rest of the psalm, it sounds like not maybe the best traveling music. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. And then, you know, some weirder language, I feel like your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, and your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Now, we don't talk that way anymore because, like, I've never seen anybody be like, that son, man, you know, he keeps working on his 40 time. He's going to get a scholarship. He'll be like an olive shoot. That one. Just keep it up. He'll be olive. You want to be a fruitful branch? Fantastic. Just keep it up, you know. Get those ladylike charms working. That's the way to be a fruitful branch. So we don't talk like that because who would? But what is it that God is saying here? Or what is it that the psalmist is trying to convey, right? And this idea is actually super important because it goes back to the place that they come from. If you're going to pray that God blesses you, well, what do you want? You know, I mean, you could say something like, man, I would really love to have a job that gets me lots of money because money seems like it's good, and who doesn't want more money? It doesn't solve all the world's problems, but it doesn't hurt to have it around, right? Is that really what we want in life? Or I want to have all the material blessings, or I want to live in a certain place, or I want this very specific idea of what a future could be. I don't know if you're walking that path, and if you have those questions in your heart that I was just describing of saying, man, I'm not sure every morning that I wake up that I'm walking the right one. Then maybe the answer is, you know, to not ask God to bless one very specific path, to make your ideas elevated on the plane of God's ideas for you, but instead, God, show me what's best, and then give me that, please. And you know what? Those things that the psalmist points to, I'll tell you what, I mean, I would come from a very biased opinion for a couple of reasons. Like, number one, Christian pastor, big fan of this Bible here. The other side of it, too, is like I'm a husband and a father, so I have a wonderful wife. I have wonderful kids. I just think it's the greatest thing ever, man. I really, really do. I know it's probably not for everybody, right? But at the same time, I think it's probably for a lot of people. And I'll say this much, that in my life, I've done a lot of cool things and had cool experiences. I feel like my life has been very blessed. But there's nothing that compares to the idea that I might be blessed with the best thing. In my experience, it's been family. I don't know what God is going to lead you to, but the idea that what he wants for you is a life that not only is blessed right now, but that one that when you get to the end of it, you can see in the eyes of another human that life goes on and it goes forward. And it's incredible in such a way that it isn't just incredible for you, but it's incredible for the people around you. It's incredible not just in your heart, but in your home and in the homes of your family and everyone who knows you. And that by walking in the path that God sets apart for you, that there is indeed a way to live, a way to conduct yourself, a way that you might go, that is such a blessing that that blessing would not only speak to you on a personal level, but it has the power to change your life. And I don't only mean that in the sense of eternal salvation, but I certainly mean that. I also mean that it has the power to change how you relate one to another. It has a power to heal the broken relationships so that you can walk alongside the people that you used to, but you can't walk alongside anymore. It has the power to gather to you people who are good people, who want to see you blessed, and who you want to see blessed. People who can rejoice with you as you rejoice, that you can cry with as they cry, so that you don't have to go through all of the difficulties of life alone. And I'll tell you what, if you want to pray for something good in life, you could do worse than saying, God, I don't know where the path goes, but I know this much, I want your blessing. And I don't know what kind of blessing I should ask for. But I know this, that if it was so good that not only would I be blessed, but people I care about would be blessed as well, then this, I think, Lord, would be a good path. Please give me that path. And I'll tell you what, if you can imagine in your heart that that would be good, then you can imagine the feeling that the psalmist has as he's writing down these words. He wants these things to be good. He says, thus, or in this way, is the man blessed who fears the Lord. Now, I'll tell you what. Now, obviously, this isn't restricted just to dudes. This is a different language. And almost every language in the world and throughout world history has had a default masculine voice, right? If any of you guys study Spanish, the default voice is masculine. It's how the language works. So this isn't just for dudes. It's for every single person. Every single person. This is how it works. You know, oftentimes when we pray, I'm going to go on a little excursus here, because I'll tell you what, in my tradition, if you preach for more than 15 minutes, like 15 minutes and 1 second, like you'll never hear the end of it. I just had a house guest, my bro, who I met at my first church, like when I moved back to Southern California, right after I became a Christian. And I was invited to preach there. My first time I preached apparently 40 minutes. You know how I know that? Because they never let me hear the end of it. Now, I'm not going to do that to you tonight, but I'm going to take maybe a couple more minutes. Because I think this is important. It says, thus, or in this manner, this is how the man is blessed who fears the Lord. You know what? When you guys pray for God's blessing, you ever do that? You don't have to, like, throw your hands up or shout amen, anything like that. But just kind of give me one of those, like, I mean, I've done it. Okay? Fair enough, man. Here's the thing. I've done it. I'll tell you, I used to imagine, and I think a lot of people imagine this, that when I ask God for a blessing, that what I'm really asking God to do is be like, listen, throw me a solid, man. I could use something real good here, all right? And I know I kind of haven't really worked towards that, but if you could do that, then maybe we could make a deal. You know, as a matter of fact, I'll start being good if you could give me the thing that I'm talking for. There is a real strong temptation in Christianity to look at our prayers to God as being wishes. God, give me this thing that realistically I don't really expect. It would be great, but I'm never gonna set a foot in front of the other one to seek after. That's a wish. It's not a prayer. And some people ask God for a favor, you know. Lord, if you heal my loved one, then I will. Like God's up there going like, well, I mean, if you sweeten the deal, then maybe I'll cure the cancer. Like, that's not how it works, man. And I think that all of us know that in our hearts, but we don't know what to say when we're asking for God's blessing. And if God's blessing is what we need, and the path is difficult because it is, we probably ought to learn how to ask for God's blessing. Because in the Bible, there's no shortage of it. People want it. They're not afraid to speak that desire forth, to ask God for it. You know, I think at the heart of a real prayer that wants to see God bless them, a prayer of faith says, you know what, Lord, I trust that you bless the things that you promised to bless. And I'm just going to start walking towards that. And I'm going to trust that if it seems like there's a chasm between here and where I want to be, between the future that I believe you're calling me into and where I stand today, I'm going to walk across that thing in faith that you're going to build a bridge under my feet if that's what it takes to get me to the place that you want me to go. And I'll tell you what, you want to pray that prayer? I dare you. It's a scary prayer because it will lead you to places where you will feel like it's the Looney Tunes cartoons. You run off the cliff and you're not going to fall until you look down and realize that there's nothing supporting you underneath. In reality, God holds us up. He wants the blessings that you want deeply in your heart. He promises to give. And that's why we go to him. That's why we take the path. And I'll tell you what, if you don't think about your life of prayer in this way, I encourage you to start doing it. Because there's an old saying, and I've only seen it. I sat carved into a church once in Latin in Australia. But it translates to this. Work is prayer. When I go forth and I do, believing that God will bless, like that's, it's like speaking with your hands instead of your lips, the prayer that you have to God. This is the psalm that we're looking at today. It's speaking with your feet. Lord, I want to see you. I want to see your blessing. And I'll tell you what, truer words have never been spoken than the ones that you speak with your life. This is how it works, friends. I'll tell you, I have so much respect for where you're at in your life. I haven't gone through that part myself very long time ago now. Half the time ago. It's getting depressing. But I'll say this much. It really was hard for me then. I assume it really is hard for you. But God wants the things that you see at the other side of this. And I encourage you to keep walking forward. Because I'll tell you what, that when our lives are the prayer, then our the steps on the path, they are the ascent. They are walking to go see the Father. They are the actions of going to encounter God, because God promises that he will show up, that he is the one who rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, the end of the prayer ends with a blessing. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may your children, or may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And I'll tell you what, of all those words, every one of them probably makes sense to you. You know, they're going to go see the splendor of Jerusalem, and I bet it was something compared to the places that they came from. I would imagine that more than one person who took that trip walked all the way to the end, and they said, man, that was worth it. That was worth it. And they probably went home and told their friends about it. And I'll tell you what, like, I think this is what a real pilgrimage is. It's the lives that we live in Christ, trusting in him. If you take those steps of faith, you're going to see the glory of God at work. And you're going to have a story to tell when you come back. You're going to receive from God and from his hands everything that he wants to give you. And what he wants to give you is something more amazing than you've had the courage to ask for. But the last words of the psalm are this. Peace be upon Israel. Who's Israel? This is the interactive portion. Who's Israel? God's people. That is a very true and safe answer. Absolutely. Was that Emma? No, it's coming from the back. Abby, okay, good on you. The masks make it so hard, man. But listen, Israel means wrestles with God. It isn't, I mean, just think of those words. Are you struggling, trying to find your path? Are you wrestling with God? Israel wrestled with God. He laid hold of God in human flesh, and he wrestled him. And he walked away broken, but he never let go. And all he said to him was, give me your blessing. You know what, if that's where you're at in your life, just know this. He walked away blessed and with a completely different life after that experience. And this is exactly what happens when we go to lay hold of God. So I pray you lay hold of him. And I'll tell you what, whatever soundtrack you need to get you into the mood, cue it up and keep pushing forward. But let me pray for you. Almighty Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise because you are just that to us. You are a Father, Lord, one who has been good, one who wants us to be blessed. But one, Lord, that we confess we don't always understand. We don't always see as clearly as we would like. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to close that distance, to put one foot in front of another, and with our lives, with our feet to walk towards you, with our hands to do to do the work that we believe you are calling us to. And Lord, let the work of our hands, the travels of our feet, the inclinations of our thoughts, of our hearts, and the thoughts of our minds be the truest of prayers that we offer to you. Guide us straight to yourselves, Lord, and give us your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.